clarify, are you okay with me recording this whole conversation?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
And I pronounce my name Kara, just so you know that.
Okay, perfect. So, Kara, it is November 15th, 2023. My name is Abigail Jacoby. Would you be able to introduce yourself really fast?
Sure, I'm Kara Eastman.
Perfect. And can you tell me about your current work or what you're doing for a job?
Sure. Right now, I'm the president of Kara Eastman Partners, which is a consulting firm for nonprofits and some political campaigns.
Okay, very nice. So we are going to be doing this interview for our class for Dr. Sundberg, History of Environmental Inequalities. And what we're really focusing on for our project specifically is the community response and advocacy in terms of lead remediation. So I just have a few questions for you about that. So can you tell me about the first time that you learned about lead in Omaha?
Sure. So in 2006, I was hired to start a nonprofit called Omaha Healthy Kids Alliance that grew out of the fact that Omaha was the largest residential Superfund site because of lead contamination at the time. And so that was the first time I learned about it.
Okay. And then can you talk about the Omaha Healthy Kids Alliance and what that project was and what you did for it?
Yeah. So the organization started to help design a comprehensive community response to addressing lead poisoning. At the time, kids in Omaha were getting poisoned by lead at higher rates than the national average. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of factors that were contributing to that. So one, we had lead in our soil. Two, we have lead from chipping and peeling paint in older homes. Three, we had lead service lines. We still have about 17,000 of those. Sometimes kids were getting poisoned from consumer goods too. So while I was at Omaha Healthy Kids, there was a story that broke out about lead in toys. And so that became a national issue as well. And so our goal was really to prevent lead poisoning, to address it, but to do that in a way where we were making sure that the people who were significantly impacted were given a voice and making sure that they were the ones who were helping to design the strategy.
Okay. And can you talk about that process and what that was like, making sure to give people that voice?
Sure. So it involved a number of community forums, going out and talking to people. We did some door-to-door activity, working with local community-based organizations, grassroots organizations, especially in North and South Omaha, where people were being disproportionately impacted. We wanted to make sure that we were reaching out to refugee communities and putting out things in different languages, as well as recruiting people who spoke the languages that the community needed. So we developed an AmeriCorps program where we had people from South Sudan going out and talking to people. We had just a massive wide educational campaign to help make sure people knew about the dangers of lead. And then we raised a lot of money to invest in making homes safer and healthier.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that the community generally viewed this as a positive thing? Was there any resistance that you faced?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit. I think anytime you're doing something that is community-based and really grounded in community, but it's also a public health thing that not everybody's aware of, there's resistance, right? So if resistant from government agencies who weren't willing to coordinate, there's not necessarily resistance, but just a lack of awareness maybe from funders about the severity of the issue. Like lead poisoning is not always the sexiest thing to fund. And then landlords push back a little bit when you're trying to create enforcement strategies. Elected officials push back a little when you're trying to create any kind of regulation. We were constantly in this push and pull mode.
Right. And how did you handle that?
alcohol. No. we persevered. Like we just went at things from all different angles and tried to recruit different entities to help us. So meeting with the heads of EPA and HUD and the governor, the lieutenant governor, the mayor, just, you know, anybody that would listen, we would try to recruit to help us in some way, just making sure that people understood the severity of the issue and that, you know, really nobody wants kids being poisoned by anything and that this was something we could prevent.
Right. So our class focuses on lead as an environmental injustice. Could you talk about how that might be the case here in Omaha? And would you agree that it's an environmental injustice towards certain groups?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so even if you think about the way that, you know, well, first of all, you know, power plants, factories that release lead emissions are often placed in low-income neighborhoods. In Omaha, for example, you had the destruction of the freeway years ago, where who knows how much lead was spewed into people's yards. Mm-hmm. Then you know, just having an older housing stock, homes built before 1978 are likely to contain lead-based paint. And so we have a lot of older homes in North and South Omaha. Then there's just the lack of interest when communities are impacted by things from people who are willing to present solutions. So, you know, when it's, you know, when you have, like, again, the lead in toys thing was really interesting, right? Because, you know, most of the kids that were, you know, being talked about were like, we've got like wealthier kids who are playing with these fancy toys. And so all of a sudden people are up in arms. What was interesting actually was that people were way more up in arms when they thought pet toys had lead in them than when kids' toys had lead in them. So that's another interesting thing. But, you know, in our country, when the people who are predominantly impacted by something happen to be black and brown, we tend to just sort of ignore it, right? Like, it's certainly a racial justice issue. It's certainly a social justice issue. We're not as interested in uplifting communities that are living in poverty or lower income communities. Like, we definitely focus our efforts in other places. And, you know, I think historically the environmental impact of lead, you know, it has been universal. It hasn't just impacted kids living in poverty or BIPOC kids. But when we were looking at the data and seeing kids that were being poisoned over and over again, the majority of them tend to live on the eastern part of the city in lower income housing.
So what do you think can be done to continue advocating for this issue and for those people that are disproportionately affected?
We need a comprehensive, holistic response. We need investments. We need education. We need prevention strategies, and we need enforcement.
Okay. And how have you seen firsthand the impacts of lead on the health of children in our community?
So if you think about the idea that it takes the equivalent of 3 grains of sugar of lead to poison a child, and what that means in terms of cognitive development, what it means in terms of violent criminal behavior later in life, lead is a neurotoxin, and it has no purpose in a child's body or brain. It doesn't do anything good for them. And what we saw were, like, you know, across the board, like, we know when kids are impacted by lead, they can have learning disorders, they can have issues in school around behavior. And so this is why it is so important for us to prevent kids from getting any amount of lead in their body.
Right. Who else would you say has been a proponent of lead remediation in the community or represents the history of lead in Omaha that we could potentially chat with as well?
Brenda Council.
Okay.
Ben Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would I say around lead? Shannon Melton.
Okay.
Who's now at Ignite. I think that's the name of the organization. She worked with me at Omaha Healthy Kids Alliance.
Okay.
I would say those three people are probably the best to talk to.
Okay. And what else do you think someone should know who wants to learn about this issue, especially in relation to the Omaha community specifically?
So I'm sorry, can you ask the question again?
Yeah. So what else do you think that we should know about this issue in the Omaha community? What else would you like to say about it?
Yeah, so, you know, When we, you know, when I think back to the way that the issue was handled in Omaha, you know, the EPA spent a lot of money to remediate yards, and because they found contaminated soil, and that's a good effort. But when you do that, but you don't address chipping and peeling paint, mm-hmm. when you don't do window replacement, because that's usually where, you know, because of the friction, that's usually where the main sources of you know, leaded dust. When you don't address the lead service lines, then it's a failed community response, right? Like, mm-hmm. you can't just address one source, especially because most of the data we saw, and this is hard to tell, and the EPA actually didn't do it right. They were supposed to do a number of studies that they didn't do to see actually how kids were getting contaminated. But the Douglas County Health Department's data showed that kids were getting impacted by chipping and peeling paint. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't have replaced the yards, but I think it gave people a false sense of security that if they had their yard replaced, they didn't have to worry about lead. And I think that's a very, very dangerous thing to put in the minds of people in Omaha.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else that you would like us to know? Those are all of my questions.
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, I really, really appreciate your time. This was an incredible conversation. I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for caring.
Yeah. All right.
Keep caring.
We will. We will. Absolutely.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Cara. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.